Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Remnant House Living. Building this vision together, we help overcome the current conditions of homelessness for abandoned women and children in our community, assisting them by providing safe shelter, life-building tools with biblical structure, and counseling while guiding them on the road to life recovery, giving them the opportunity to experience a brighter future. Your host, Apostle Natalie Young, began her journey to restore lives in Ohio when her own family friends were touched by the overwhelming problems of domestic violence, trials, and displacement by giving adult women and children safety in her own home. Natalie moved to Florida in the late 90s, unaware of the even greater problems in the area. The vision to begin a women's shelter was born, continuing her education at Valor Christian College in evangelism, crisis counseling, and psychology. She has continued in behavioral studies and was ordained as an apostle January 2013 by Family Life Church of Newport, Kentucky. Vowing to help the women and children abandoned by society, she founded the Remnant House Living, Inc. Now, here's your host, Apostle Natalie Young.
Good evening, everyone joining us. This is our first time back on the air. We decided to do it at the first of the year with Your Time Prophecy. And we are here tonight with Kayvan Peabody. How are you, Kayvan? Are you there, Mr. Peabody? Peabody? I'm not sure where he went there. But this is the first time we've been back on the air for a while. We had to take a break from radio, but we're glad to be back here. He has a song called Cookies and Candles. We're going to have him explain it to us because it's kind of, it's soft and with a gospel overtone, but kind of R&B. And so we'll get into that later on. We've had some exciting things going on in the atmosphere. We were out in New York with Erica Garner's memorial. We've been in some tough fights for social damn relief here. We're going to be talking about some of those things. We've got a lot of sexual harassment going on in the social atmosphere. We have a lot of different issues going on, and there are a lot of different fights going on as far as trying to figure out just where we're going in today's society. And I decided to stick with what God said in January about 2 Timothy 2:26 was the scripture that he gave me. And that was we would have to come to our senses and redeem ourselves. And I think what God is saying is pretty much what the activists are saying, is that we're going to have to be woke in the Holy Spirit to accomplish what we need to accomplish in order to redeem ourselves. I think we've gotten a lot of chances, and some of them we have neglected. And it's just time for us to redeem ourselves, and that's by coming to our own senses, to a redemption status with God. And I think that's most important. Hold on just one moment. I'm trying to get Mr. Peabody back on. But anyway, we love talk radio because we get to talk about issues. We're going to try to get Detective Mike Green back on for domestic violence, but he's working long hours. But we'll try to get him on a pre-recorded show, so we'll have him on Fridays. We got some more guests coming up for you. We're going to talk about some politics. We're going to talk about more music and more music and more music, because we love the artist. I'm going to take a break because I can't get him back on the line. He's there, but I can't hear him. Are you there, Mr. Peabody?
Hello?
Yes, are you there?
I am.
Okay. We couldn't hear you. We could not hear you. I kept saying, are you there?
Well,
are you there?
Right, but I can hear you. Absolutely.
You can hear us? Well, that's good. Thank
yes.
you. Tell us about cookies and candles. Because it's kind of sultry. It's kind of blues. It's kind of... it's got a gospel overtone, but an R&B overtone. Tell us about that, Gentry.
Well, it was a song that I composed for my children at the St. Leo's Catholic School in Piedmont, California. And
okay.
I wanted to do something that they could relate to, and I knew it would be cookies and definitely candles, because within the Catholic Church, candles carry a significant meaning. So I wrote the song, and first I taught it to them to kind of get a feel of how the people would feel about the lyrics. And their response in terms of children was very positive. And
mm-hmm.
after I gained their response, I knew I was on the right road. So I decided to record it with a good friend of mine by the name of Lawrence Beeman. Lawrence Beeman is a baritone who lives in the Bay Area, and he was a finalist for America's Got Talent, and he's an extraordinary singer, and it was produced by Carl Wheeler, who is a significant name in the Bay Area. His work goes from everywhere from Tony to Walter and Edwin Hawkins to a great number of gospel and pop artists. So we came together and laid it on down.
It's very, very sultry to me. It's kind of warm. It's loving, I think. But it just had all these overtones. It was so fabulous when I listened to it. And so we'll let them hear that a little bit later on. Yeah, it's a very, very, very unique sound.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's what we're going for, something that we could reach a wide audience with.
Mm-hmm.
Something that would be loving in terms of something that the family could sing, and especially when we get to the chorus part that says, "Mommies and daddies, families and friends, join in the chorus. Let love begin to say, 'I love you.'" And certainly, we have reached within our society where love is not saying, "I love you."
Yeah, it's definitely there. We wondered what social topic we should talk about, but you just hit it on the nose. We have moved into such a time where we're going to have to redeem ourselves, and that's going to be by the redemption of God. We're not going to be able to even feel what it's like to have natural affection. Second Timothy is a powerful book for the time that we're in right now. 2 Timothy 3 talks about not having natural affection. It talks about being truth breakers. It talks about all the things that we're seeing right now in the atmosphere. And that instruction came the book before.
The particular scripture that you forwarded to me pretty much deals with redemption. And
yes.
getting away from the snares of the enemy.
Yes. Absolutely.
And I'm hoping that the listening audience will take time and why don't you give the reference so they can look at it as well?
It was 2 Timothy 2:26, I believe. Is that what I text?
That's correct.
I'm not sure. Yeah, so 2 Timothy 2.
That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who is by him at his will, and that they may return to sobriety from the benumbing intoxication of false philosophy and bad habits. Here represented
come
as
on
the
now.
Snare of the devil, in which thou held captive, they were not yet killed, but of the snare of the devil being made living captives by him. And that's a very interesting scripture because one goes about looking, there are several translations of it. One is that so far there's no difficulty, but the last clause, according to the will of him, leaves the reader in doubt as to its meaning. Because the pronouns are used, which generally are not universally used. They refer to two different subjects, and make them both refer to the devil. But the contrast of the two pronouns is remarkable, and the sense of the passage very obscure for the will of the devil, being an obtuse addition unless it is translated by someone else. The devil is a fowler. I didn't look up that fowler. I'm not familiar with that word, fowler.
He fouls our moves. A fowler. Let's look it up.
He watches our moves.
When you foul, like foul play or let's see. When you make a foul in a game?
Foul is F-O-U-L, but in this context, it is F-O-W-L-E-R.
Okay. Hold on. A hunter.
I'm just wondering.
Wait. It says a hunter of wild fowl.
Uh-huh.
So he hunts us. He hunts us.
And that's
certainly
true. That's
what it is.
Because we are certainly hunted all the days long, certainly true.
Right.
But
to capture
us.
And I say that all the time. I say, don't get captured by the enemy. It's all kind of tricks and devices he does to capture us. Different types of religions that look tempting to us. And we'll follow that because the crowd is following that.
But
or
not
we'll
only
follow
religion,
that because we get. I'm hearing.
Not only religions, distractions from what we should really be concentrating on, and that is God.
Well, people are saying God, but they're calling all kinds of things God. So I think it's important to stick with the book is in saying Romans 10:9-10 that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That's correct.
To confess that, yes, with our heart and with our mouth. We can't just say anything is our God. And I think that's where we're getting all mixed up with this. Because people believe they can serve whatever. There's universalism, there's some type of Egyptian ritual that people are doing now. And the thing I want to say to the callers, and if you want to call in and get a prophecy, because I'm pretty good at that when you're talking to me, the number is 818-739-8939. People are using all kinds of things to say that's a god. And we're going to say G-O-D, gods. Because it's idolistic. It's idolistic. And when we're using Egyptian spiritual you know, rituals or universalism or these types of religions that say you can worship trees or grass or old ancestors, things like that. I want to say to the audience that none of that is new. You didn't create any of it. So you're still following something. You don't want to follow Jesus Christ, but you're still following something. The Masons were created a long time ago. I think it was England, wasn't it? And it was done by white people. And then black people kind of took it over. So we're not, we didn't create anything. We didn't create anything as far as something new. There is no new under the sun. So it's just a matter of making a choice and coming to your senses, you know, whether you want to obey what the Bible says according to Jesus Christ and what you want to put your foundation and build on. And so, I mean, we can right. think we that there's, you know, all those other gods are alive, but we know they're not. Grass is alive, but grass is not a redemptive, okay? grass is
no,
not redemptive.
That is not redemptive. Grass is not redemptive in any source.
Right.
Maybe to a
trees
cow.
Maybe to a cow. Keep him alive. But it won't save his soul. Right.
No, it won't
save his soul. Right. And so our society is so unbalanced from those things, I believe. And I just think it's a selfishness. It's a selfishness, Mr. Peabody. It's a selfishness.
Right.
It says, I want to live the way I want to live. I want to do whatever
do
I want.
People do have freedom of choice. God did give us freedom of choice.
Absolutely.
Freedom of choice.
Absolutely.
And, but sometimes and at some point, one has to come to their senses and follow the dictates of God. And the map that God has given us is the Bible. But some people in postmodern societies believe that the Bible can only be used in terms of its moral satisfaction. And sometimes those who interpret the Bible do so without studying it in terms of its overall historical impact, the language, and from those who were giving the dictates at that time. I do believe that God is still speaking to us for this time and this season.
Absolutely. That's where I got 2 Timothy 2:26 from. It was January 9th, 2017. I woke up and said, what happened? Because I fell asleep looking at the news. And
what happened on that day?
Pardon me?
What happened on that day or on that night?
President Trump won the election.
Okay. Well,
but I didn't
you know
that because I was sleeping. I fell asleep.
Oh, okay.
I didn't watch all of it. And so I had to
well,
rely
always,
on God to
we all
tell
woke
me.
Up to the nightmare. We all woke up to
I
the
just,
nightmare. But you know what? I've lived through a lot of nightmares. And I've come to believe and know that God is always in control. And even though he has victory, but sometimes, you know, the saying that says the same thing to make you laugh will make you cry. I believe that the same thing that he is rejoiced about getting makes him weep at night.
Yeah, well, even Obama said it was hard to bring you to your knees. And maybe he hasn't gotten there yet. Yeah, he hasn't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
Maybe he has. We don't know.
We don't know. That part we don't know.
No,
remember,
we
once had a man in the Oval Office who suffered from dementia. and that would be Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the cruel things that occurred under that administration, at the end of the day, when Ronald Reagan went to sleep to meet our God, he didn't know who he was or those persons around him. Mm-hmm. So God has a funny way of doing things.
Yes, he does. You know, every time I think about dementia, I think of Romans 1. Because Romans 1 talks about that path of no return, where you just, you know, you're existing, you've turned over to your own mind, more or less.
Yeah, and I must confess, I've lived through several administrations. Several. From Eisenhower to Trumpism. And guess what? I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
And yet alive.
Mm-hmm.
And things don't change. Don't change overnight.
Well, of course not. No president. And I'm saying not one of them can change anything in 4 years or eight. Now, Trump went in there and made some drastic changes in 4 years. But now it's going to boil down to
In 1 year.
In 1 year. He's going to be there four, so you just got to I guess I just expect it. But what I'm saying is someone else will have to come back and undo everything he's done, Mr. Peabody. And that's what happens with every presidency. That the president after them.
Not gone into effect because the court.
Well, I know that.
Slows things down. Particularly the courts in San Francisco, the 9th District, just on the DACA issue, they're gonna have to swing that through the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even though there is an executive order, all of that can still be challenged. So, I look at things as being: some people see the glass half full, and some people see it half empty. I'd like to see it half full.
Mm-hmm.
Because I realize it's not what we're experiencing is not going to be long. That's my prediction.
What we're experiencing, can you clarify that?
What we're experiencing socially, the sexual harassment of women, the Me Too movement,
the YouTube movement,
all of this is leading up to something, and it starts at the heads of government. Notice.
Mm-hmm.
The persons who have, for the most part, been accused in the Me Too movement are not the persons who run things. The heads of the corporations that run things. They're not the people who sit on the boardrooms who run the world. Those are not the people who have been accused. It is just a few Philistines. And I think if you get enough of them, then the people will begin to squeal.
Mm-hmm.
That will lead all the way to the top of the government. All of this is not coming out in the media for nothing,
mm-hmm.
particularly a person who gets on loud and clear and says, that he aggressively assaults women. That's not going to go far.
Well, they're not doing anything about it yet. They're not doing anything about it yet, so I'm just saying.
Just watch.
Well, they were watching. I'm just saying
they
we're
woke.
Watching.
Uh-huh. They woke. And then sometimes people fall under the pressure. So we're going to stay woke.
Pressured by it.
And we're going to keep moving forward. Huh?
You believe he's pressured by it?
Do I say that again?
You believe Donald Trump is pressured by the sexual
Absolutely.
Harassment?
Absolutely.
You know why I don't think he is? Because he doesn't believe he's wrong. If he thought he was wrong or had some remorse about it, maybe so. But he said in a news interview that he doesn't apologize or repent to God because he's never wrong.
Remember, he came up. I can't remember the new. He came up under the New York minister who is was a materialistic. I can't remember his name, but he's a huge had a huge impact on his family and on his family's life. And he lives in the type of world where he can pretty much draw his own reality. Billions of dollars will insulate you from the person who makes $100,000. He has no idea. And he's only accountable to himself. But he's in a position that he has to be accountable to everybody. We'll see how that works out.
Selfish will never work in this. Vincent Peale. Is it Vincent Peale?
Absolutely. Vincent Peale.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm.
That's who he was raised under, Vincent Peale.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a minister to a lot of rich New Yorkers.
Oh, really?
He was like a Reverend Ike.
Wow.
Very much.
Our show's informative. We love it. That's why we do RHL Ministry Radio, so you stay informed. That's why we do it.
And he did not believe in being poor by any means.
Of course not.
He was a materialist. No, no.
Well, I believe that even the church today, the black church today, started going downhill when they started preaching a prosperity gospel.
Well, I think there were any number of factors, because a lot of people lost confidence black ministry. And black ministers. One huge example I could use is if you look at San Francisco and San Francisco churches, where in the late 70s there was Jim Jones. A lot of people lost confidence in black ministers because of Jim Jones.
Jim Jones didn't tell them people to drink that. They drank it on their own.
Yes, but the effect of killing 930 persons and the effect of moving them to a place was that they thought was going to be a utopia, but it turned out to be a prison.
Okay, but Jim Jones is white.
Wait,
Kayvon. Jim Jones is white. Okay, he's white.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you followed him out into the wilderness, right? That's like saying when God led us out of Egypt, we still decided to stay with Pharaoh. Okay, we're making those choices. I'm not gonna. Exactly.
Exactly. If God gives you a way out, we should take it. Take it.
But I never blame the victim.
I'm not blaming the victim, but we all have, it's just like they're saying they're slaves in Johannesburg.
Africa.
Where are the slaves at right now?
Not South Africa. It was a part. I'll look it up.
Yeah, Africa.
But those persons have been freed because the African nations came together as a whole. And the crux of this is what Italy did when the migrants came to their country, and they shipped them to Libya. And the crux of this happened because of the Italians and the way they treated Africans.
Mm-hmm.
And that story is not really told. You hear about them leaving Africa for terrible conditions and going to Italy, but Italy turned them around and sent them to Libya. Just like I wonder, I posed the question some time ago: what happens to the deportation of 200,000 people? Who pays for that? Where do they go? How do you make preparations for 200,000 people to leave your country? And very few
My question was, if we gave them a way out and we gave them a way to fight, would they? What are they being promised? What are they being gifted? What is the promise that makes them submit? I think that's my biggest question.
The promise of freedom and a better life.
Okay, well, that's the same thing.
And
they
the possibility to work.
Okay, wait, stop. The same thing they promised us that we never got. So they didn't get.
Yeah.
They didn't learn in history by prior experience. That's what I'm saying. That sometimes. It's going to, that 2 Timothy 2:26, come to your senses
We're
and redeem
there,
yourself. Yeah. I don't care. I'm telling you, God said it. That's why God said it. I heard it clear as day. I started crying. And I was like, well, God, they're not woke. They're not woke. You're going to have to pour your spirit out onto the earth. They're going to have to know the manifestation of God before they even go near it because we're so full of doubt. If that makes any sense at all. The breach is huge. We don't trust ministers. The breach is huge. We don't trust ministers. People just won't trust the church. You know, the breach is huge. That's by Isaiah. And nobody's trying to repair the gap. I just don't see anybody trying to repair the gap. Because nobody's trying to lose anything to do it, okay? Only a few.
And you got
to
lose something to do it.
Only the ministers that don't have anything to lose are the ones that are standing up, you know, saying what they need to say. You know you don't let people fight. You know you don't do that. Even if you got to use scripture to whip them back in line, you know you don't do that. You don't say, I don't want to be involved or we're not getting involved. That's not our fight. That's not what God called us to do. It's not. So, and I'm saying it live on the air. Okay. But anyway, we know that we have a job to do, and we know we will be accountable for that job that we don't do. We have a higher accountability. They taught us that in Bible college, that we would have a higher accountability than the average person. And so that's how you have to live, and you better think about it that way.
From the education period, you have a higher accountability.
We have a higher accountability to God for people's lives, period. And so we better be real careful of that. That's all I'm saying.
You have to be careful.
The indictment will be against the church. The indictment will be against the church. It's not going to be against the world. Okay? God says he'll judge the world and we are to judge the church. So the indictment will be against the church. Hmm?
That's true. That's so true.
Yeah. I mean, we have to tell the truth or nobody ever will their conscience will never be plucked of it, if that makes any sense.
I was today I was showing a film of Martin Luther King and the advent of the civil rights movement to some sixth graders.
Mm-hmm.
And with true clips of what actually occurred between 1957 and 1968.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on their faces of being appalled by what they saw was very interesting to me. Because, and we do have the holiday coming up soon, because many times the image of Dr. King has been possession, where they don't really see the struggle. They don't really see how he was hated by so many people. And they don't
mm-hmm.
understand it. But the look on their faces is somewhere the light went on to see, to say, if this is going on from 1957 to 1968, and then to just do a glimpse of the comparison of what's going on now, somebody has to say, in that particular age group, where did we go wrong? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Why does this continue? Why are we still fighting for the same things?
And that's what I just said. I mean, you have to learn from past experience that this is not true. And maybe, you know, people are so impoverished. Wait a minute. They're so impoverished that they go for the pipe dream. But at what point did you realize that Pharaoh still exists, that spirit is still in the earth, and they've never given us anything without a fight? And that, you know.
Without a fight.
Without a fight. It's just never happened. It's never happened.
It just never happened.
And it's never happened.
It has it never happened. Happened.
It's never happened.
Never happened.
Never.
Never.
Absolutely
never.
Not. Absolutely not. Absolutely
so I'm
not.
Trying to, as you see, I'm trying to help them to stay woke.
Well. First of all, you got
to
come to your senses. You ain't woke till you come to your senses.
Right. Till you come to your senses.
Come to your senses. Absolutely.
And then I want to show them the survivors. Who survived it? And what they're doing.
Well,
so
I think more so that we talk about history in the past, but we need to leave it back there and deal with what's going on today.
Absolutely.
Because it's the same mentality. It's the same
mentality.
None of that has changed. None of it. And so until people change their mind, which is, I think, 2 Corinthians chapter 10,
the renewing
verse
of your mind.
5. The renewing of your mind. People think renewing of your mind is let me talk. Renewing of your mind is I don't drink anymore. I'm not being promiscuous anymore. That is part of renewing your mind. But the foundation of renewing your mind is trading it in for God's mind, which means you'll need the Holy Spirit. Which means you'll need the Holy Spirit. That means you'll need full submission in order for the Holy Spirit to come in to help you renew your mind to who God is.
To who God
because
is.
Without His Spirit, yeah, without His Spirit, it will never happen. And so we're lacking in that area. It'll never happen without His Spirit, without the precious Holy Spirit to help us renew it. Well, we don't know what right is without Him. That if we lose that slight tugging, conviction of the Holy Ghost in our spirit because we've overridden it so much.
And we don't know what truth is.
Then we don't know what truth is.
And we don't know what truth is.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, Mr. Stevie. That's right. And you're a sixth grade teacher?
I am a, I'm the fine arts director at St. Neil's, the great school in Oakland, California.
You're the what director?
Great, I am the fine arts director. And I work with students K through eighth grade.
Oh. Wow. So you could actually use this as a teaching tool because it's creating a link as we talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's creating a link as we talk. That's wonderful. Yeah, it's something you could share. You can with the kids because we all need to renew our mind, but it's so important to be submissive for the Holy Spirit. It takes a long time to learn what God is going to teach you. Man can I sat in church and let man teach me for 18 years. But without the Holy Spirit, there was no revelation of what I was being
taught.
There's
no revelation. Absolutely.
Right. So once he quickened that, then I can remember everything. It's easy to walk in. Once he taught me the secrets of and that's a scripture too, that God will have to teach you by the Spirit. I don't think we talk about it enough. He has to teach you by the Spirit how to walk in the dark, how to walk in the unknown.
Trying the Spirit by the Spirit. Trying the Spirit by the Spirit.
No, it was teaching. He
teaches
Spirit. You look it up. I'm telling you, look it up, teach. Look it up.
Okay. But I'm so glad that we talked today. I'm very, I feel honored and privileged to be on your program today. And I also want
to
thank you.
Well, I'm honored to have you here.
Yes, I want to feel young for just that giving me the opportunity. Because I don't generally get the opportunity. Musicians usually don't get the opportunity to talk on the air. And it's very
important. Well, you can bring your artist back, too. And we could talk all music and gospel. We love it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. When I first began to do this audience, God said, use teachers. And still to this day, that's who this show attracts, is teachers.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So it's in the spirit. And see, I didn't have your bio. I didn't have your bio. He didn't give me his bio audience. So, and when I asked for it, he started asking me all these questions, so I just left it alone, and he's exactly what God called for. He's exactly what God created the show for. And so you know that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You just know it is. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me.
Right.
Right.
That was a secret. Nobody knew that. You know, you didn't know that.
Wow.
You didn't know me when I started this 4 years ago. You didn't know me. So there was no
way
for you to know that. That's why I said send your bio.
Right.
And I'll I always pray over everything. And so I would have picked the show from what God told me about you once I read it. But I didn't.
You didn't
send it, so God just did it anyway. You know, you
God
did it anyway.
Did it anyway.
You're a teacher. Yeah, he just did it anyway. That's why I love him. Did it anyway. He tricks me all the time, you know. It's the perfect break for the show. Let's listen to your song. We'll take a four-minute break. You got 4 minutes?
Absolutely.
Let's listen to Cookies and Candles. I'm going to put you
in the box so we don't hear any background noise. Or put you here. Let's put you here. Let's listen in. Listen, audience. This song is like really sultry. It's kind of happy. It's kind of, but it's about school age children. He said they did it and designed it to bring love to the atmosphere. So let's just listen in and call in and tell us what you think. The number is 818-739-8939, and we're with gospel artist Kevin Peabody. Kayvon Peabody. Gospel artist Kayvon Peabody. Am I saying your name correctly?
A lot of people call me Kevin, but it's Kevin. At my house, if it had been spelled K-E-V-I-N or K-E-V-A-N, it still would have been Kevin.
It still would have been Kevin.
It still would have been Kevin.
I love that. Okay. And so did you teach the kids the song? Did you teach the kids the song?
I did. We sang it at our annual Christmas concert this year and last year. And the response has been really great from the parents. We probably had about 500 people out for our Christmas concerts. And the response is remarkable. I've been very pleased with it.
Mm-hmm. I can just see people rocking and kind of moving around and swaying side to side in my mind.
Distributed in all of the digital media formats. So if you put in Kevin Peabody, KevinPaBody, Cookies and Candles, I will automatically come up if you Google that name.
And is that your voice?
And feel free to. That is my voice. I'm on the top, and that is my voice, yes.
Okay, sing it.
Yes. I have a long history in gospel.
Do you really? But it doesn't sound gospel. But it doesn't sound gospel. It's got a gospel overtone type of, I couldn't describe it. Because it was so sultry. It was so blue. It's kind of bluesy. It's kind of grass.
Right.
It's just mixed up there. I was like, what is that? Mm-hmm. I'll be listening to it.
I grew up in East St. Louis, Illinois. And I moved to the East Bay. I moved to San Francisco in 1980. And between there, I lived in Nashville, where I worked with any number of artists, including Dr. Bobby Jones, who I used to be in a group called, I started with the Royal Gospel Singers in Nashville, Tennessee. That was probably one of the first professional gospel groups that I played for. I worked with, and he was a member of my group.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a long history. I started with Isaac Douglas. Reverend Isaac Douglas on Nashville Radic Records, where I was a studio musician, and BCNM Mass Choir, remember those days. And then in all the way into the 90s with Reverend James Cleveland, I'm on two of his last recordings, having Church. We were the special guest at that particular event, and Northern and Southern Cal, recording with the Reverend James Cleveland. I worked with Evan Hawkins, Walter Hawkins. I was dean for the Music and Arts Love Fellowship, which is headed by both of those great men, and Walter Hawkins. It's been a very interesting journey for me, and I'm so grateful to God that you have given me the format to express it to a wider audience and to tell my story. And that's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've also been around a lot of St. Louis and Chicago artists, Detroit artists, and I write in a lot of styles. Currently, I've been working with Michael Walden Narada, or Narada Michael Walden. He is responsible for the advent of Whitney Houston, Saving All My Love, Aretha Franklin's We're Going Riding on the Freeway, music for The Bodyguard, an extraordinary person, and I'm just so honored to know him and work with him. We've been doing gospel. He wanted to do gospel, so he called me and asked if I would work with him as a musician. And we have a whole cadre of
very, and at this point in life, I'm just overjoyed that I'm still out here and alive and sharing. And so we have three products with actually four with Cookies and Candles. We have I'm So Grateful, which was sung by Tosh Cryer of the East Bay. He is currently the musician for Sheila E. And then we have Ashlyn Cole singing Thank You for Being a Friend. And she is currently the premier vocalist for Larry Graham. And then we have I Am Blessed, where I sing. And a new artist by the name of Diana Griffin is the soloist. So,
wait, stop. So you're like this big dude. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Say that again.
I just know. God, what do you do to me? He does this kind of stuff. You know, because you didn't give me your bio. I have no clue. Audience, I have no clue who this is.
Well,
other than we listen to gospel music together. We go on WESL and we all post and we have fun with Chuck Spearman from Bobby Jones International and all the other gospel artists. And he was the one that stood out to be first for the show. So I requested it. Well, it's not because you stood out to me. It's because you stood out to God because you're a teacher. Remember, we already established that. But not unbeknownst to me. That's the issue. It's like I'm always the last one to know. That is the whole key to following God. It really is. That's the whole key to obedience is that we don't have to ask any question. We just kind of do it because the other person knows what's going on or they know what's in their spirit and they know what they were praying for. And so whatever you were praying for, and like you said, you're appreciative for the platform.
Absolutely.
Right. We don't know what will come of this because I don't know what you were praying for, right? And so it's just okay to be obedient. And I think we need to encourage the kids that it's okay to be obedient when you're sure that it's God. Like if you've got a homework assignment, you don't have to second guess it. I think people are overthinking a lot. We overthink it. And we make it more messy and we make it more difficult when we try to figure out the end result.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
The end result belongs
to
God.
Do your best.
Do your best. Whatever you know that you're supposed to do.
Absolutely. Because I didn't go full-time music ministry until 1996. And my wake-up call, I was working as a loss prevention person for Saks Fifth Avenue in San Francisco. And this was my wake-up call. I discovered one day that I was training someone who had less qualifications than I, who was younger than I, and they were making more money than I.
Mm-hmm.
And after the bell went on, I thought it was time for me to move on because I wasn't moving anywhere in the company. I was stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I really decided to trust God and to rely on God's faithfulness to take me to the next step. And I have never been disappointed. God has exceeded every expectation beyond that which I could even think or dream of. So I'm just so grateful to God for giving me the victory in the shadow of what seemed like defeat. But it was only when I trusted God that the door opened up. I wrote a song, say, fear cannot live where faith is supposed to reside. And it was on that song that really pushed me to move in a direction that would be beneficial for my family and beneficial for my own life. And I'm just very grateful And every door has been opened to me. Every artist that I imagined as a child, I have worked with. All of
wow. I know I can't understand how I got all the way up here either. I mean,
yeah.
I just like kind of hang out. I don't ask for it. I don't go looking for it. They're just there. Like this magnificent dude, like he's like huge, super smart today. He's a civil attorney for the city of Columbus, right?
Right.
And he does mostly federal cases. And
okay.
I'm sitting in the room with him, and we're just talking. Another friend of mine that I've had all my life since I was in my 20s, he's talking to him. And I'm like, well, who are you? What do you do? That's what I say to everybody. That's just how I am.
Right.
And so he tells me, and I went, oh, my goodness, right? God was kicking
right.
doors open. I'm making a warm door to say, well, I met her. I talked to her. He
right.
kicked. He was kicking the doors open unexpectedly for me, and I kind of told other activists that I said I'm going to have to do it God's way because I know how He'll do it. He'll do it regardless whether I'm looking for it or not, and I trust that. I
yes,
just
yes.
don't think a lot
yes.
of people trust that.
But then there's another side of me that every Saturday I work with persons who have addictions. Every Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and we minister to those persons through our music and through our ministry for 1 hour, and then
mm-hmm.
we feed those people, and we've been doing that consistently for the last 2 years. And I say if you are faithful to the least of them, God will always open the door, always.
If you're faithful to the least of them.
I have not found that to be, I have, yes. I have not found that to be a false, anything false. But you have to open yourself up to people.
Well, I think you have to open yourself up to the idea of teaching. Because
yes, absolutely.
Teaching is not telling people what to do. Teaching is showing them what to do. Telling them what to do is a slave driver. I think I said that today.
Well,
I posted it because that is not teaching people. Telling them it's just like when you're sitting down with someone and the student or the person asks you, well, how do I do this? And you take the pencil out of their hand and you do it for them. That's not teaching them.
No, that's
now if you sit down next to them and you do it, they can duplicate what you just did. So that just
right.
taught them how to do it for themselves.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. But then they,
I'm not
they have
sure.
To be able to,
mm-hmm.
They have to be able to do it on their own once you're gone. And that's the real test.
That's the real test. Exactly.
That's the real test.
But we don't do it if we do it from a selfish perspective. And so we're telling people what to do. Instead of
right.
teaching
right.
them what to do. Right. We're telling them what to do for our own gratification, if that makes any sense, self-gratification.
Yeah, and that's not lasting. That's not lasting.
Well, it's not a reward either. That's
no.
the point we were getting to, is that is not a reward to God. That's not what God rewards us for. He rewards us for the least of these. We don't want to be above them. Right? That's like we're above them.
That's right. Right, right. It's just like those teachers that you go in and have such an arrogant attitude, I've got mine and you better get yours. No. No one will learn from that.
Well.
And there's a lot of that goes on.
I know. I'm 53, 54 years old. I'd be ready to fight. Because you're not teaching me anything. You're not teaching me anything if you're operating in resentment. What is that scripture? We despise small beginnings. We despise small beginnings. That's what it is. And it's not the person that's the small person. It's the big person that despises it.
Right.
If you're failing
right.
to teach, what else could that be? What else could that be?
That's just ignorance.
Well, somebody told me to go look up this law, and I went to look it up, and I couldn't find it. So I went to some other legal people, and I said, they said it was this law. Can I look this up? And they said, well, we've never heard of it. So I asked, you know, two or three, four or five people, and nobody ever heard of it. So I asked again. And they said, well, I told you, you should ask an attorney. I said, well, I asked an attorney. I asked several attorneys, and nobody knows what you're talking about. Do you know they would not give me the answer?
Mm-hmm.
That's not teaching.
No, that's not teaching.
That's not safeguarding.
That's holding the body of knowledge. That's safeguarding the information, becoming gatekeepers.
No.
That's
not a gatekeeper. That's a slave driver. Because the only way to control you, the only way to control you is to hold back knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that how it was always done?
That's exactly how it was always done. And it's still done today.
It was today.
It's still done today.
Ta-da.
When you look at the goals into the institutions of higher learning, it's still done today. One vivid example is for the last probably 7 or 8 years, I've worked with the UC Berkeley Choir. And UC Berkeley has the Gospel Choir. It has an outstanding reputation. But the choir actually started in the 80s. And the makeup of the choir in the mid to late 80s was predominantly African-American.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the choir of 2010 to 2018, the primary persons who are in the choir now are Asians.
Mm-hmm.
Which tells you that there has been a switch in terms of who gets into the institution. It speaks very well.
Mm-hmm. I was crossing the street at a legal crosswalk, which is very, very legal because it was on campus, and the Asian man looked over at me and saw I was black and kept coming, but the person on the other side was white and waited. I'm kind of mouthy. Really? That's what I did. But he had this smirk on his face. I probably wouldn't have said anything if his face wasn't smirked. If that makes any sense. Right. It was like it was on purpose. So.
And it's sad. You know why? We're all in the same boat.
And then they're not exempt either.
No, man.
They're not exempt. It's pretty bad. Nobody's exempt.
This is an amazing conversation.
This is amazing?
Yeah, this has been an amazing conversation. Because we've never talked before, we've never met before. We've chatted for a whole hour, and
yes,
that's amazing.
Because life is like that, though. Isn't life like that?
Man, I'm just like, wow.
That's why I say I'd love talk radio.
We just
kind of
roll with the flow,
Exactly.
I used to say that
on talk radio. when I was in a station. When I went into a station and was paying for the airtime, they said, can't you just get on the air and talk to yourself? I said, that's not what I do.
Right.
What good does that do to anybody for me to just talk to myself? Because your idea is different than mine. And if we can come to an agreement, that teaches everybody else they can agree.
Right.
And you're saying it. Again, as a teacher, you're saying, I don't know you. I've never talked to you before, and this is working.
We agree on. Right.
But it's working.
And we have so many shared experiences.
Yes. Except for I need some of those artists to come on radio. You've got to give them up. You know, you might as well just email me all their emails and I'll ask, well, will they come on and talk to the audience from their perspective?
Absolutely.
And that's what I like.
From their perspective.
From their perspective. We don't expect you to come on and kind of like fake it, or we just like it to be spontaneous.
Spontaneous.
Because you opened the door. Yeah, you opened the door all by yourself. You kept saying, what are we going to talk about? Right. And you were talking and the door just opened, if that makes any sense. It's the Holy Spirit. And it has been very, very successful with this broadcast. Very successful. Mr. Peabody, I started terrified, I think it was August of 2014 or 15. And I've gotten all the way up this far, like all the way to Bobby Jones.
I've known him for almost 40 years. I used to live in this apartment.
Listen. I'm a late bloomer. I didn't know nothing about it. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't start paying attention until 2011. That's when I started paying attention. When I got my vision, and my vision wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. So I said, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, do radio. And then I find out that everybody does radio. So I wasn't doing anything unusual. All preachers almost start on radio. And so, but I didn't like know it was like going to take off like that, because I just did what he told me to do, and I did it how he told me to do it. I don't let certain people through the atmosphere.
I certainly hope that the audience has been warm to our conversation and to our sharing, and that they will tune in and stay woke.
Right. This is Your Time Prophecy with the Apostle Natalie Young and gospel artist Kevin Peabody. That's what you're listening on RHLMinistryRadio.com. Is that cool?
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. We're hosted by the Remnant House Living.
As my New York friend says, cool beans.
It's cool beans.
Cool beans.
Don't forget the call-in number, guys. It's 818-739-8939, and we're going to have another broadcast next Thursday at 7 p.m., and that's Eastern time, not Central.
Gotcha.
We can listen to some more music. We can listen to some more music, and we're ready to go whenever you are. Kevin, we love you. We
love
you, Mr. Peabody.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
And Happy New Year to you, and I look forward to the future. God's blessing be upon your life and
God
your family's
you.
Life. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you. All right.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Hey, y'all, that was the great interview, man. That's our first interview of the year. We just love it. Let's listen to, you know who I want to hear? I want to hear Hallelujah. Is it there? Let's see. That was like super. You know, God picked him again. God picked him. Oh, my God, teachers. We love them. I am trying to understand this process here. Let's listen to Dynamic Praise.
Everybody in here, folks.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, everybody.
Welcome to Remnant House Living. Building this vision together, we help overcome the curse.